Well, this morning we're going back in our teaching again on the areas of wisdom. There's some things we covered and we're going to go back over into Proverbs, the 8th chapter. We've been teaching about wisdom and understand the fact that when we deal with the subject of wisdom, God spoke to Solomon about wisdom and we talked about it. So Solomon was given wisdom by God because he asked for it. Well, we have the same thing that's told to us in the New Testament. James said, if we lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it liberally. We had Solomon ask God for wisdom, and God gave it to him liberally, didn't he? And we looked at one of the things of the fallacy that has been taught, that Solomon was the wisest guy in the earth and all that stuff. There's nobody wiser than him. You know, the scripture don't say that. That's been made up by Christians. Because what it says, his riches, nobody had riches like he did. It didn't say nobody had wisdom. If he can have more wisdom than anybody in the church, then the Holy Ghost is a failure. Is the biggest failure there's ever been. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. How we have that? The Holy Ghost. You got God living inside of you. You got the greatest mind in the world living in you. It says we have it. We're not trying to get the mind of God. We have it. What we need to do is come in contact with it. We need to come in contact with the wisdom of God in us. Now, we want to share some things. I didn't think we're going to spend as much time till the Lord spoke to me this morning, but we're going to be talking really about the areas of prosperity. I didn't plan on going to that, but the Lord wanted me this morning. There's some things that I had, you know, done. You know, I have ideas, you know. Do you have ideas? Sometimes my ideas and God's line up and sometimes they don't. And so he had a different idea this morning about what to do. Because we want to talk about wisdom. And this is really helpful. People need to hear this. Because, you know, to live in this earth, have you ever checked lately, you know, that to be able to prosper and to do well is really helpful. Did you ever notice that? To have things, you know. I always love these ministries and ministers that, you know, talk about poverty, you know, as if it's some kind of great blessing, you know. Poverty humbles you. Well, if it did, if humbled you in that stuff, then why do these preachers pass in offering plates all the time? I don't get it. You know, any minister talks to me of poverty's good and that stuff, I won't give them any money. I will not give them any money till they change whatever they say. They ain't getting any money out of me. You believe poverty's good? I'm going to do what I can. See how you enjoy it. I want you to see. When you tell me how much you enjoy the poverty, let me know. I might send you a check. But till then, till that lie gets off your lips. You know, I don't enjoy poverty. I don't know about you. I've been around abject poverty. I've seen poverty. And I've been in places in the world where poverty, America has no clue. But poverty, I mean, it's just, I mean, there's many countries in this world, there's no backup systems. There's no charities. There's no nothing like that in operation. It's amazing how many Americans go to other countries and they start charities. Their countries don't. You go to Muslim countries, Muslim companies don't have charities. They don't even take care of their orphans. Christians in their countries set up orphanages. Christians come into the Muslim, those heathen Muslims come in, and I don't care if anybody likes it, they can hear it on air and they tell me I can't be online anymore. I don't care. I'm tired of lying. I am not going to be nice. I'm going to be truthful. You know, Christians today, they're to be nice, they'll lie, 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 lie to be nice. But see, Christians go along, they go in and they start charities, but most of the countries don't. You want to know why people in Mexico want to come to the United States? They don't have no welfare system. They have nothing like that. That's why they want to come over here. It's called free lunch. Instead of changing their country, they come over here and try to turn ours into theirs. Crazy. You know, if Mexico's good, stay there. But don't bring it here. I've been in Mexico. I like America. I like living here. I've been to Mexico numbers of times. I've been down there ministering. I will take United States for living conditions. We'll do it here. I'll go any place God sends me and I'll live under any condition that God tells me to. But if I have a choice, I'm not going to pick Mexico. You know, we need to understand. See, I want them to be blessed, but they need to be able to be taught how to be blessed. And they're not being taught. They're not being taught how to bless. There's a wisdom to prosper. There's wisdom. It's required. And this is why we look at the book of Proverbs. We're reading in chapter 8. I'm going to start back there reading. There's some of it. We're not going to go back over. We went the last time. It starts in chapter 8 and verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. So wisdom finds out what? Knowledge and discretion. There's a need for knowledge and there's a need for discretion. Discretion would be basically this, how to properly use the knowledge. It isn't enough to know, have knowledge, but you need to, wisdom knows how to use the knowledge. See, we have a knowledge-based society that's full of knowledge, but has very little discretion. There's no discretion in America. And that's why we have the problems that we, mainly the problems we do. Now, he said this, now here's a good piece of wisdom. Here's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Then he lists pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. In other words, there's things we're supposed to hate. There's evil. We're supposed to hate evil. That is the fear of the Lord. If somebody doesn't hate evil, they do not have the fear of the Lord. We know this. Most of the church world today opens its arms to evil. You know, they say, oh, you know, you can be any perverse thing. You can be an adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, whatever else you want to be, lie, cheat, scumbag. God loves you all. Come to the church and we all just hang out together and we all do it. They don't hate evil. Why? Because that's no fear of God. I used it when I was teaching this the other week. I said this. What you hate, you stay away from. And I use the things, if you hated spinach, I wouldn't catch you ordering it in a restaurant. You wouldn't be hanging out with Popeye. You wouldn't be doing that. If you hated, you wouldn't, if you're married, you wouldn't ask your wife to cook you some spinach. You wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be, say, honey, I hate spinach, make me some. Now, what you hate, you stay with it. Do you know why there's so much sin in the church? Because the sin has no fear of God and it doesn't hate evil. They have preached a grace in the church. Grace is the ability to stay out of sin, not sin and get forgiven for it. See, that's me. Sin and get forgiven. You know, it's one of the things, and the Lord spoke to me up here while I stand this morning, and I'm going to say it. See, we teach a grace today, and people say, well, you know, grace, you know, God, we have grace, and no matter what we do, God will just forgive you. I've had people say this to me over the years. Well, I know that's wrong to do, but I'm going to do it. God will forgive me. I want you to understand this. That's a lie. The book of Hebrews tells us God does not forgive willful sin. But see, we don't read those. We listen to that stupid guy from Singapore that put a book out that tells us that we can sin and get away with it. Well, we don't have to ask forgiveness. We listen to that lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. But the church has bought that message, and they have trumped the devil's message through the church to get the church to live like hell so we can tear our nation to pieces. We can let the devil run rampant. See, we need to understand these things. We need to, you know, it's one thing to trip up, but a man didn't trip up who willfully wanted to sin. He didn't trip. He tried it. He didn't trip. He jumped over it and ran right to it. There's no tripping going on. And so we want to stay away. There's one thing. Everybody has fallen. Everybody's missed the mark at times. Everybody's done things. But we're not in the market to do that. I don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, it's okay. I got this grace, you know, it really don't matter what I do today. I can just, you know, go out here. If I mess up, it don't really matter. Man, you want to live that one? If that's what grace is, we didn't need Jesus at all. We already had the devil. We already had all we need to do that. And so let's come in line with the truth. Now this is what it says here in verse 14. Counsel is mine. What? In sound wisdom, I am understanding. I have strength. And see, this one thing, and we talked about this with dealing with wisdom. Wisdom has strength to it. In other words, if you know the right thing to do, or if you know what to do, if knowledge is given to you and you know what to do in a situation, that's strength. You have the strength to know what to do. This is one of the things we're talking about this morning here, because most people are asking, and it's good to ask for wisdom, but they only ask for wisdom when they get into a bad situation and they don't know what to do. You should be seeking wisdom so when you come to bad situations, you know what to do right away. When you're working, most people are always operating behind the thing. The problem already got the head start on them. The problem's already eaten into their life for 5 months till they turn around and get the wisdom to start to deal with it, if they ever get it. That's not God's plan. That's not how it works. God wants you to have wisdom ahead of time. God wants you to know what to do before situation. The Holy Ghost is in you to show you things to come. That's not the prophet's ministry. The Holy Ghost is in every believer, preparing us. He's going to give me wisdom. I wanted wisdom today before I got up this morning. I don't want to have to try to find out what to do afterwards. I want wisdom for today. See, it's one of the things, running behind. That's one of the things the Lord taught me about finances when He began to give me wisdom on what to do. I realized that we had generally been taught to operate concerning finances as things come along. And God said, that's not my best. That's not my best to do that. That's not my best to operate that. We're believing. We don't have our faith out ahead. Faith is points to the future. We're always waiting till the future comes to use it. And I'm not criticizing anybody, but we haven't been taught. That's what we've been taught by people, to do it that way. Now, you can do it that way. In fact, God complimented me on the fact, He said, you know, when you get into a situation financially, He said, you know how to bring money in. You know how to do that. And He complimented. But He said, that ain't my best. And there I thought I was doing really good all the time. But I thought, what is it? I found this out. There's wisdom that Ed don't have. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know all of you have all this wisdom. Everything you got is ahead of time. You never get in a situation like me where you haven't got it all. No, there's time we run it. And so what He did, God began to teach me, to take me to a higher wisdom. Now, you need to understand this. If you don't operate in the wisdom you got, God will never take you. Never take. The Holy Spirit will never reveal to you a higher wisdom. There's no point to do it. You understand that? This is where people make a mistake. They're always waiting for something better, not walking in what they have. If you do what you have, God will take you to higher wisdom. That's the way that I learned this over the years, how it works. I asked the Lord one time why people don't, you know, get along with that. He told me when He shows me things, I practice it, put it out, tell it to others and start to do it. He said, that's why He gives you. Because I asked, why don't they go further? He said, I can't give them anymore. I can't give them anymore. They don't walk in what they have. There's no point in me giving them anymore. It's His principle. You don't cast pearls to swine. Now, see, I didn't write that in the book, so don't tell me I'm calling you pigs. God did. God did. So don't come on me with that. God said it. No, practice. You know, if I don't practice what I'm doing, that principle falls on me if I don't practice what I know. You know, this is just wisdom. This is not criticizing anybody. We're just talking about, these are principles of the Word of God. This is the wisdom of God. Today, people are offended by the wisdom of God. When wisdom's spoken, people get upset. I don't want to hear that. Makes me feel bad. Instead of saying, now I know what to do. Now I know what... No, not people today. No. The churches have helped build, and our society has helped beat and made people so weak and so frail, you can't even teach them anymore. They're unable to learn. And we promote it today with being nice. We call it being nice and destroying people. People become so weak, they can't handle anything, can't take anything. We got to have safe spaces in our colleges. I think it'd be just good to burn most of them down. Would be a good start. They're hell holes, raising up little demons to run around. Praise God. Well, it was good preaching anyhow. He said, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all judges of the earth. You know, and he's talking about them reigning and ruling. In other words, you can't ever really reign and rule. Even if you're in charge, you cannot reign and rule unless you have wisdom. And we found this wisdom only comes one place, from one place. It comes from God. Now, there is wisdom that we use in this world that is not bad. We learn about natural things and how they work. You know, we learn about natural stuff, and there's things that we can learn about natural things that are beneficial to us. And there's a wisdom in that area. But most people put that stuff is more the higher wisdom. You know, we said here in America, now I've been in countries already around Christians. Here in America, we think we got all this wisdom and all this education. I've been in countries where people had faith that made every American I ever met look like a slacker. Nothing but bunch of slackers. And they didn't have no school. But they believed God's word and they'd stand on it and do it. Like I say, you know, my first time I went to Fiji, I was just so blown away in a worship service there, because I had never been in America in a worship service that was one-tenth as good as theirs was. I mean, God came in that place. I mean, those people started worship and they had a guitar. It had about 3 strings on it. And they had, but I'm going to tell you, their hearts were to God and they loved God. And they're just worshiping God. They ain't like the Americans. They didn't have no comfortable seats. We're just sitting on a board wood thing. No backs on them. Nothing like that. And then those people stood there and worshiped for about an hour. An American, you make them stand for an hour. You are an evil, wicked man, and they ought to cast the devil out of you that you would ever expect us slackers. You know we have to have a seat with a cup of coffee. Do you know, we thought, now I want you to think about this. How the devil, you know the devil got our church? You know, I'm going to tell you, I just want you guys to understand this. I don't care if I build a church that looks like a palace. There ain't going to be no coffee served in it for you. For the service in the morning. You know what? I saw that stuff and I knew it was going to happen. Now think about this. We're coming to worship. We're supposed to be coming to worship God. And the first thing that we must do is do something for our flesh. To keep our flesh happy. That's what going to church today is about in America. Another place to keep your flesh happy. Church is a place you come and tell your flesh to shut up, sit down. God, what do you want? Putting restaurants in churches. Gotta cast a devil out of these ministers. Because that's all they are, is devilish, full of the devil. They don't even see it. They come, we've got to have a light show up front. You go over to the youth ministries, they're nightclubs. They're in there, they got everything to see. I worship a God you can't see. They worship what you can see. What am I doing watching lights in worship? What am I doing watching lasers? Why do we have smoke machines in churches? We have them because the devil lives in the church. And he preaches from the pulpit every Sunday. It's all visual. It's all fleshly. It's to keep my flesh happy. And we want to be spiritual. It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't do that. I worship a God I don't see. Don't put up things that for me to watch. I don't want none of that. You know, light shining and moving around the ceiling. What on earth is this? What are people looking at? Why would you be doing that? They always throw this thing up to us. Well, look at the temple God made, how beautiful it was inside. The people never went in it. The people were out there where they were killing animals on the outside. That was a real view. Out there. The nice smell of flesh burning. The nice smell of blood that has been old and has been smeared on the side of the altar. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting, America? Not the clean little American Christians. Oh, I might touch something dirty. Ooh. The church started that stuff. You know, the church used to take communion and they'd drink from one cup. Like, actually, you're supposed to. One. Not today. Man, I was in churches at pastors. One pastor we had, he wouldn't even drink out of his own wife's cup. Yeah. Man of faith. He was spirit-filled, but I said, don't cast it out of him. He'll lose his personality. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it was. But anyhow, I'll get back up here. Does that sound like I'm meddling? I'll tell you what. There's just a lot I'm just fed up with in the church. I'm tired of people. They preach a Jesus today I don't recognize. I don't even know him. They don't have a love for him. They don't have a love for what he wants. They don't have a love for that. It's all, everything's getting outward, more outward, more outward. What I want to get outward in me is what I got on the inside. I want to let this big God get out. And we keep him locked up in the church by having more outward in the church of things we watch, view, say, all of that. You know, what's the point of having video running up front while worshiping? People aren't supposed to be watching videos. Wind blowing through the wheat field. Why? You want to go out and work in a wheat field today or something? What on earth is this? We're supposed to have our mind set on God. And we do everything to keep the mind set on the things of the natural. See, I'm not popular, and I have no intent in being popular with man. There's only one person I have any interest in being popular with, and that's Jesus. You know, people might ask, people ask things, you know, like Randy Greer said, you know, he went to church, and he told me, said, he wears suits and stuff, he said, don't wear suits. And Randy Greer said, number one, I don't wear suits for people. I don't dress for people. I dress in honor of the office I stand in. You know, our president of the United States dresses in honor. He don't come out, he don't act like the world. He has more respect for his office than the church and ministers got for their office. He has more respect. You know, Ronald Reagan wouldn't even take his jacket off in the Oval Office ever. He said, that's disrespect to the office of the presidency. The scumbags we got down in Washington today, they ain't worth spit. There are disrespect. The church is filled with disrespect. The church needs to understand who they are. Understand who and what we are. We're kings. Well, I'm just going to tell you, people don't believe that. We sit and say, we sing all that stuff about Jesus being the king, but you identify yourself with him? He's the king of kings. Well, who are these other kings? Oh, they think we're going to get that one day. I got news for people. If you ain't that now, you ain't getting there one day. This isn't something we get. You know, I don't get eternal life someday. I always love that. Go to funerals and this stupid minister stands up front and says, they went on to their eternal life. You ain't got eternal life here. You ain't going on tonight. Eternal life is had here. This is the place. We start living it right here, folks. Let's live eternal life here. Let's start living this stuff here. Let's start having it here. Let's get disappointed if we don't. If it don't show up, let's get, hey, hold it. Lord, what do I need to do? I want it here. I want that there stupid phrase in the Bible, days of heaven in the earth. I want that to show up. But it ain't going to show up. We keep walking around like we want hell more than we want heaven. You know, I'm just going to get people buying jeans all cut up and everything else like that. You think you're going to find anything in heaven? Why on earth would you pay more money for somebody cutting something up for you? I mean, I go over to other countries, they'd love to get a decent pair of pants. We here in America, we'll just tear them up and you buy them torn up. Then if you get a kid one and they had ones and it got torn up from them, they'd want it replaced. You know, they just, we'd be dumb enough to replace it for them. Say, well, you're meddling. This is just our culture. That's right. We need to get the devil out of our culture. There is not, I don't care if people like it or not. Don't matter to me. Nobody shows up on Sunday. It don't matter to me. God will show up because Ed's here. That's what matters. You know, he must like me. He shows up in my house all the time. Must think it's all right. Talks to me and everything. Isn't that amazing? Must think, you know, I mean, he ain't given up on me completely. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm preaching. All right, let's go on. Listen what it says. Wisdom. This is wisdom talking. Verse 17. I love those who love me. Hold it. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now that word diligent, King James Version says, about seeking me early. I seek you early. But actually what that is really, because it doesn't really saying that written down seek you early, people think, well, you know, I just do that in the morning. The idea of that is the first thing I'll do is seek after you, because it means to be painstakingly seeking something. In other words, it's something like this word diligent here. You're going after this thing wholeheartedly and you're doing it right away. It's the idea that you're looking for wisdom before a problem happens. You're not looking for it after it comes along. You want to find wisdom so you know what to do as you walk through life. Not as, I'll get wisdom after we run into trouble. That's what this is talking about. You're not going to do that. You're going to go after wisdom and diligently seek it so you have it as you go along in life. Not trying to get it after you went along in life. That's the idea of this. You're doing it diligently. You're painstakingly after it right away. This is what you're doing. Well, what did God tell Joshua? God told Joshua his success was going to be if he stayed in the Word day and night, he meditated day and night. If he did that, he would what? He would make his way prosperous and he would have good success. Understand this. I want you to get this. God will not prosper you. You will prosper you. God will give you wisdom, and wisdom, if you do it, will prosper you. But you're going to have to do it. God will not prosper you. I learned that a long time ago. God didn't tell Joshua he was going to prosper him. We use that thing. He says, you'll make your way prosper. You follow wisdom and you will prosper. Because we're going to look at this morning, because you're going to find this out. There should no one ever be poor. Now, people get upset about you talk such things. But we're going to find out. Because if you have wisdom, it is impossible, and you're practicing wisdom, that you'd ever be poor. Poverty comes because of lack of wisdom. That's why it comes. I could come from many ways. People aren't taught wisdom. People live in countries. You know, I've been in countries and I can tell by their wisdom of how they live. It's going to be impossible for them to ever rise up and ever really be a people that are going to be prosperous. They're not going to be because of the wisdom they follow. Their wisdom can't lead them to the place that they want to be. Their wisdom. And see, that wisdom has to be changed. You know one of the greatest things about American Christianity, it was one of the greatest things. America, what people don't realize, how many nations in this earth, their educational system started off of Christians going and starting schools in their nations. Christians went and started schools. Who started schooling, really decent schooling in India? Christians did. Christians went over there and built schools and started things. All Christians went and did those things. Christians went to Africa, built schools and stuff for the kids, did all those things. Those nations weren't doing them. Reading, writing, and arithmetic came by the Christians. America and people from Europe went into those places and went into them and took education, starting to bring some wisdom to those people. In the United States, Penn State was the first college in America that wasn't a Christian, started by Christians. It was the first one. All other colleges that had ever been in America up to that time, every one of them was Christian, was started by Christians. Every one of them. Education don't come from the world. The world messes it up. The world gets a hold of it and it brings its ideals and principles in like we have today. The world took them over, and now the Christian colleges are becoming the most heathen things you've ever seen on the planet. There was a wisdom. And see, the church lost wisdom. America's in its situation today because the church no longer has wisdom. Nobody's pressing wisdom. You talk wisdom today and you're a bigot. You're a whatever. You're every bad thing in the book. See, you don't hate, you hate evil? Man, you're a bad person. Today you love evil. The church loves evil. Man, they'll, if you're evil enough, they'll sit you in the front pew. You know, you get bad enough. Well, now listen what it says, verse 18. This is what wisdom says. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. And we talked about that last week. Enduring riches. What's with wisdom? What does wisdom have? It has riches and honor. Therefore, if we get wisdom, we will get riches and honor. And what comes, what we said there concerning righteousness. Righteousness. Ha ha. Enduring riches and righteousness. See, righteousness is basically, from lived out standpoint, is lived as doing what's right or walking in what's right. That's by wisdom. So, in other words, how could somebody actually be following wisdom and end up poor? See, socialism has no wisdom. It can't, it's gonna deplete people of wisdom. See, you follow that wisdom. You follow the wisdom of socialism. You follow that wisdom, it ain't gonna work. It can't. It's based on the fact, take from the guy who had wisdom to get money, take his, and give it to the guy who didn't have wisdom to make money. See how that one turns out. It can't turn out. It can't. It's an impossibility. It can't work. And today, you know, and today I'm not, you know, just not making Democrats. We have a lot of Republicans are socialists too. They're just on a lesser degree, but they're socialists. They still, all of them are vote buyers. They tell you all they're going to do for you to get you to vote for them. I want to tell you, look, I ain't going to do nothing. We're going to do less government. They don't ever tell you that. No, we want the government to cut. You ever hear Republicans? We want to cut the government down in size. And we'll do that by giving you more money and starting more programs. What do you think of that? It's like, none of them are cut down. Job security is in making it larger. I worked years ago in Lebanon County Prison. And they used to always tell us, we're working there, you know, when the county commissioners would come in and they would, you know, do surveys and stuff. Always tell them we need to grow it larger and grow it larger. Make more prison bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger. That was the whole point. Job security. So you make it bigger, you add more people. Now you have a more secure job. That's government. You understand government. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. The whole thing is make it bigger, job security. Make government larger, job security. People do that in the business world all the time. People, we want it bigger. We want it bigger. Then they turn around and the thing ain't working. They're trying to downsize. Because why? All that bigger eats up more and more money and more and more money. And after a while, you can't afford it anymore. You can't afford it. This is good preaching anyhow. But we find riches and honor with what? Wisdom. Now listen, it says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine silver, and my revenue than choice silver. The revenue of wisdom. In other words, wisdom is what you want to get. You don't chase money. You get wisdom. Wisdom has the money. Wisdom has the things you need. It will produce them for you. Just like Joshua, you follow, God said, hey look, follow my word, stay in my word, follow my word, say, you'll be a success, you'll make your way a success, because you'll follow that wisdom, and that wisdom will make you a success. No, today, it's all, put your money in, get money back. That's the idea. Put your money in, get your money back. That's not the way it works. It's number one, here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is this, get a job. Why? Because the Bible says, God blesses the labor of your hand. Get a job. That's part of wisdom. It is wisdom to get a job, to labor with your hand. That's wisdom. The church, the spirit-filled people, they just want to throw money in plates and get money back. The labor of your hand, doing something. You know, not sitting in a coffee shop having coffee with people all the time. And I know, you know, we have so much in America and so many people that are sitting around and they're just sitting around not doing a darn thing. And then they want to take care of and then our lousy people in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, are trying to figure out how to give those people money so they can keep sitting around. My fruits, in other words, wisdom's fruit. Wisdom produces fruit. Wisdom acted on produces fruit. It produces something. Well, we find out, what does it have? Riches and honor. That's one of the fruits. Riches and honor are one of the fruits. Riches and honor. That's why, now I want you to see this as we look at it. Riches and honor. He says choice silver. Let me read this to you. I'm going to go back here to the beginning. I'm going to turn back here. Actually, I'm turning pages. I'm just doing it in here, okay? Listen to this. This is what God said to Solomon. Now, listen to this. God said. It says, God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches and wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, and not have asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Now listen to what he says. Wisdom and knowledge I will grant to you. And I will give you riches, wealth, and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall ever after you have like you. Now listen, he said your riches are going to be more. He didn't say your wisdom. Listen what he said though. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. If he gave him wisdom and he acted on it, he had to get rich. He had to get rich. Or God would have been a liar. God's whole thing would have been a mess. God's thing, hold it. God said to him, I'm going to give you wisdom. Well, we found out because this guy who figured this stuff out is the guy who turned around and wrote what we've been reading. If you get wisdom, wisdom has riches and honor. The wisdom's what got it. That's why you go for the wisdom. How do I live my life? What do I do? What do I practice? What am I supposed to practice and what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live out my life? Following the pattern of wisdom on what to do. See, this is the great loss today. We mostly look at God when we need something, just trying to get something from God. We're always trying to get something rather than get God's wisdom. I'm just telling you this, when it comes to health, if people would listen more to God and get wisdom, there's lots of times people wouldn't get sick. Then they wouldn't even get attacked. Kenneth Hagin said this, the only time that I ever got attacked in my health in my life is when I missed it. That's what he said. I heard him say it with his own voice. Now, those things are never said a lot. Why? Because a lot of people, they hear those things and they get, oh, well, I messed up and poor old me. They don't stop and say, gee, I wonder what wisdom he learned. I don't know. No, they don't. They'll start feeling sorry for themselves and I'm going to look for a church that says nicer things to me. And lets me be sick. And then we'll fake through the praying stuff and to get healing we never get. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! People, look folks, I want things to work. But I'm going to tell you what, not enough Christians do. It seems, you know, people love religion. We love going through the religious hoops. I'm going through the religious hoops. It's not doing anything, but makes me feel better. Makes me feel like I'm doing something. Oh, get over it. We all go through this. You know, you can sit around and whine all you want. It don't matter. It's the way that it is. Hallelujah. But God gave it to him. See, God had to because we sit here and we read when we're reading here in Proverbs. We find out from Proverbs because he said that wisdom, what in wisdom's hand was riches and honor with enduring riches and righteousness. And then my fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And so it's better. Why? Because it can produce what you need. Following the wisdom of God, you can get anything you want. Anything you want. Just like God said, whatever thing you desire when you pray. He didn't say, whatever things I want for you. He said, whatever things, and he said the word things. Things. Well, God don't deal with things. Yes, he does. He said, whatever thing you want. When you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. See, we can't wrap our heads around that because we're tied too much to the natural. Too much natural worship and too much natural Christianity. Too much to the natural side. And we're stuck on this thing. Prosperity's become just a money thing in America. And people have the inability. They can't produce healing in their bodies. They can't produce all kinds. Their mental torment they can't get a hold of. They can't do none of these things because the emphasis has been on money. We're seeking the silver and the gold instead of the wisdom. And the wisdom will produce whatever you need. Wisdom will produce whatever you need. I want you to think about that. See, when the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes, that has very little meaning to the church. Well, all things are possible. Well, what does that mean to you? You know what it means to me? I've been pretty much a slacker in my believing because there's a lot of things. A lot of things I need to rise up and faith for. That's what that means to me. All things are possible. Boy, there's a lot of things that I wanted that we ain't got to yet. No, the average person reads that and says, yeah, well, you know, the Bible says that. Big deal. I mean, you can quote it all you want, but if you can't make it work, it ain't worth spit. Really, it's not worth spit if it don't work. What good is it? Nice words. But see, how can I come to the place to make that work? Does God really want me to come to that place? Does God want me to ride there? I'm convinced he does. But I'm convinced that we've went about it the wrong way. Instead of seeking wisdom, we've sought that certain thing we wanted. We've sought the stuff, then seeking his wisdom that we could grab a hold of any of the stuff we wanted. We went at it wrong. And sad to say, we were taught a lot of it wrong. We were taught a lot of it wrong. We listened to what men said. And you know, I'm amazed that God blessed us in our stupidity as much as we do. And I sit back and look and I think, God, you've been so merciful to me. It's been incredible. I just, what you've done with, you know, what we've done with our faith. But there is a place to rise to. And see, this place to rise to, this place of wisdom, this is a place that you go to where really relieves a lot of the pressure. You're not trying to make things happen. Your life makes things happen. The way you live and the things that you make. You know, let me read this scripture to you here. Let's read this. Verse 20 says, I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of justice. What does he do? I traverse, or that traverse means that's the path that he walks. The path of righteousness and the midst of the path of justice. Now the righteousness of doing what's right. I walk in the, wisdom always does what's right. Wisdom follows what's right. So I need to learn what's right to do. See, I realize that I have righteousness by faith. But my reward in this life and the life to come is based on how I act out that righteousness. We're going to be judged, the Bible tells us, New Testament, by what we've done in the flesh, whether I lived right or not. My reward's based on it. So what I want to do is find out wisdom will give me the ability to live a righteous life. Why? Because that's what wisdom does, and wisdom's wealth is tied to it. Listen to this. Righteousness, and it says justice. Now, listen to this. Verse 21 says, why does wisdom traverse that path of righteousness and justice? That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, does that sound like God wants somebody poor? Does that sound like anybody has a right to be poor? God's given you and me, given all humanity, the right to have wisdom. He's given it to all of us. Why? So we don't end up poor. So we don't end up messed up. You know, we go over that living, doing what's right. You know, justice. See, we can see this. America's in a mess. America don't have a justice system anymore. It's shot. Why? Because we left God. And when you leave God, there is no wisdom. Understand this about justice. God has rules and laws, and He will never change them for you. He will never change them. And you better be glad He don't. See, people want God to be a law changer. You know, when I mess up, change the law so I don't mess up doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. Change the law. If God changed the law, He'd become a failure, just like me. That's what He'd be. No, He sets up ways things work. Why? Because if we follow Him, we get blessed, and those things will bless us. And they're a guaranteed constant blessing. They will always work if we follow it. It's a guarantee to us. Now, I want to say about justice from this standpoint. We don't understand about justice. But one of the things that God's really been impressing a lot on me to emphasize a little bit more about this is, and I've said this before, our New Testament is based on the Old Testament. Now, we don't like to hear that. We like, oh, no, we don't live under the law. You need to understand this. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. When the apostles and all of them preached, they preached out of the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. They preached Jesus. They preached the moral law. You know where our moral law comes from? It comes from the Old Testament. No lying, cheating, and stealing. No doing all them kinds of things. Paul talked about all these things, works of the flesh, he called them, over there under the law. They just said, don't do this, don't do that. Why? Because doing those things will harm you. They're not wise to do them. You do those things, it's going to cost you. It doesn't give you reward. It steals from you. So those things were given under the law for Israel's protection, not to hurt them. It wasn't there to hurt them. The Bible says this, that all the promises of God are yes and amen. He said all the promises of God. He wasn't just talking about New Testament. It's all the promises of God. The Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Everything that fell under the curse, every ugly thing in the world fell under the curse. Go back and read it. Deuteronomy 28, read the curse. Any ugly thing you can think of is under the curse. We're redeemed from that. The church is not supposed to have that. But can we break the law and have that? Can we live immoral lives? Can we live under the curse and have the blessing? No, you can't. But the church world believes you can today because we have what you call grace. Grace is the license to sin. You can sin under grace and get, and because you're under grace, you're not held accountable. There is nowhere in the Bible preaches that. That is preached by men. Grace is God's ability so you don't sin. Grace is God's power to keep you from sin. It is not God's power to cause you to sin. When John wrote, and he said in John the second chapter, if anyone sins, if anyone sins, today you would never write that. You'd never say if. See, it wasn't commonplace for the Christians to live in sin in those days. Today it's commonplace, so you would write down when you sin, because see, that's the way we preach it, when you sin, because everybody's going to do it, because we're told today, go ahead and do it, God will forgive you. We would never say such a term as if you sin. I have heard ministers say, you're just going to sin. You know, grace is the worst lousy thing God ever gave man because it don't do nothing for you. You still live like hell with it. What good is it? What good is this lousy grace? That's why most ministers preach a lie. They keep talking about the blood covers your sin. The blood don't cover your sin. The blood removes your sin. See, you're going to sin if all you are is covered, because that's all they had in the Old Testament. The blood of bulls and goats was the covering of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. You don't have the sin nature anymore. You've got a new heart. You've got a new spirit, the Bible says. Is that true or not? But we still preach old covenant, and no wonder people sin, because we're told we're just old sinners saved by grace, and you're just getting by. We preach such a sloppy, stupid grace that is a worthless nothing. Jesus died in vain, according to the majority of the church today. Why would he die? If all I got was covering of sin, and that's all I got, Israel had that. We could have easily done that with a bull and goat. We wouldn't have had to go through all this. Jesus wasted his time on the cross. We don't believe in the church world today of the new birth. We don't believe in becoming new creatures. We're still the same old thing. We need a grace that lets the old man still live. We need a grace that sin dominates and sin rules. That's what we need. That's the kind of grace the church is looking for today. I don't want that grace. That ain't grace. Jesus didn't die so we'd act worse. Jesus didn't die so when we put a little fish, stupid fish on our car, drive around and cut people off. Woo! He's hot today. You can write that one down, Sherry. That's one of my... One of my sayings there. If you're going to drive stupid, don't put anything on your car. You know, that's taking dumb pictures and putting them on Facebook and then wonder why you get in trouble. You know, it's just people are so stupid today. You know, there is no wisdom. I mean, sinners don't, and even Christians, do stupid things and don't, I mean, you know they don't have any wisdom, and post it for the world to see. And then get in trouble and wonder why they got in trouble. Why? There is no wisdom. Stupidity rules and reigns. I've looked at this. Because most of these Christians getting in trouble with dumb stuff believe this sloppy grace stuff. And they have no wisdom. They have no wisdom. Don't be dumb. Hey, what I do dumb, I don't try to publicize it. Man, I'm ashamed enough. Dear God, you know, what is wrong with people? Well, there is no wisdom. There is none. And their practices show that. Practices show that they there's no shame. But justice, let me say, you know, concerning justice, and this is really an important part because I had talked about some of this before in justice, but the Lord told me this morning to talk about this some more because, you know, one of the things that I did talk about, you know, if you look at justice under the law, what things God had put down on Israel, how they were to judge things, you know, with justice, you want justice done. And there's one thing that I always said that I found really interesting about God. God would have, you know, God would never allow somebody to be put away, locked up, or punished on circumstantial evidence. You couldn't do that. Today, a large amount of people end up in jail on circumstantial evidence. And do you know why God operated that way? Because God didn't want innocent people to get locked up. God would rather have a bad guy go free than lock an innocent man up. Today, we just lock them all up. There is nothing more shameful than people be sitting in prison. They haven't done things wrong, and they've been locked up. And we're having too much of that. And that is because there's no wisdom anymore, so there is no justice. When wisdom goes, there will be no justice. There's not justice. Let me talk about justice, like we don't think about in our everyday life. Now, we want courts that are just, but we have to measure ourselves. Are we just? Are we just? Do we minister justice in our own lives concerning how we correct? You know, if you look at Israel, if somebody in Israel, God said, if you borrowed something from your neighbor and you broke it, you replaced it. Oh man, I know Christians. I mean, I've gave Christians books over the year and let them borrow a book and can't get it ever back from them and they'll lie and say you never gave it to them. You know, you can't get it back. Why? See, they're unjust. They're unjust people. People wonder, and I have never had people that don't have problems in their life, and I know why. See, the curse don't come without a cause. The curse may come because of ignorance, or the curse can come because you are not doing things right. And the curse comes. But see, we overlook all that. Those things are meaningless to us today. People break contracts and stuff. Under the law, you didn't do that. That wasn't just, and it wasn't just to do it. You always did what was right. God would tell Israel what they were supposed to do if they did certain things, what the payment back was to the other person. He told them. That's justice. People don't even do it. People borrow stuff from a neighbor and break it and, oh, well, it broke and I'm really sorry. Think sorry ends a thing? If you're a Christian, you fix what you did. Make it right. It isn't, you don't just apologize. You make it right. The neighbor might forgive you, but God's not going to. Till you make it right. You know, I might forgive the guy that comes and asks me 70 times, but it didn't say, I can forgive him, but I'm going to tell you, he's going to answer for God if he don't get it right with God. We act like it all just goes away. It ain't going away. He can't keep doing wrong and reap good. You're going to reap what you sow. That's a law. We have the idea, well, we forgive it, and these people, well, the guy forgave me. I don't have to fix it, do anything, I can go away, and I'm all right. Good luck. You correct it. Doing right's correct. Don't we want a correction? See, we demand it of our government. We're demanding it. Can we demand it? Are we just? Maybe not. Am I just about things? See, I have to measure myself. See, this is wisdom. Wisdom will teach you to be just. I'll tell you, if I borrow something from somebody and it breaks, they get a new one. That's just the way it is. I don't care. I'm what the Bible calls a spiritual pilgrim. I swear to my own hurt and I change not. I give my word, I'm going to keep my word. I don't care what. I'm keeping my word. And if I give my word to something, and maybe it's sometimes you ever give your word and you wish you would, man, I wish you would have given a word on that. But I tell you, I ain't going to back off on it. I'm going to stay in my word. I learned that from my father. I thank God to have a man who was in front of me. My dad was a man of his word. And I'm glad I had that. My mama was a mom. She's a lady of her word. What they said, they did. You know, if they told you, you do that again, they're going to whoop you, you could count out like a sun come up in the morning. If you did it again, it was coming. They didn't even talk about it. They just came and whooped you. Wonderful lesson taught. That is not taught today. Most Christians, the average Christian will never teach their children that. They'll just talk and talk 27 times. Talk and talk and talk. Talk and talk. No justice. You know that deals with justice? That's about justice. You showed to them. Justice is you get away with it. You get away with it, you'll get away with it, you'll get away with it, you'll get away with it. Till I get so frustrated, then I'm going to hit you because I'm so darn mad. And really, you're spanking them because you're an idiot. You're the problem now, not them. You're the one that let it go. You're the one that pushed it to this. You're the one that did that. See, justice. This is what we want to do. See, when people come out and commit crimes, and all of a sudden they'll do something heinous, and they'll say, oh, look what the terrible thing they did. Why? We helped them on the road to it. We kept letting them go. We helped them go do it. See, not justice. See, the law wasn't to hurt Israel. It was to help them. The law would sure help the church today. We threw the law out. And then we're calling for law today. What on earth are we calling for law today? The church is the one that threw the law out. The church did that. The church says there is no law. No more rules. Uh-uh. We do. We got grace. Woo! I got grace. I don't have to follow the rules. Hallelujah. Well, I just want you to know, I don't have that grace. I haven't got that. I don't own that grace. I don't know where you get that one at, where you get this grace where you just, whatever I want to do, I'll do. It isn't, I can't find it in the Bible, and basically that's the book I read. So I can't find it in there. I don't have that grace. My grace demands something of me. Why? Because I keep demanding of God to keep His word. So I can't live like I don't have grace. I must live. Because grace is powerful. Grace believed is the most powerful thing. It transformed. That grace took a drug addict and a drunk and turned him into a preacher. That's what that grace did. It didn't turn me into a sinner. It didn't turn me into somebody that wanted to do worse. It never did such a thing. Grace never did. Grace never left me without a conscience that I can sin and I don't feel like I have to repent and turn from it. Grace never left me in such a place. My conscience bothers me. That's the wonder of grace. I was a sinner. I'd do things and my conscience didn't bother me. Now today I have a conscience that says, knock it off, stupid. It's a shame. Most Christians have to have another person to say it to them. Knock it off, stupid, because they'll keep doing it. They have gotten over where they've cauterized themselves according to Scripture, and they no longer hear their own conscience anymore. And they can sin freely now, and it don't even bother them. I'm never going there. I'm keeping my conscience tender to where I can hear a loud voice say, Ed, knock it off, you dummy. Don't you do that no more. That's what I want to hear. I want to be protected. My conscience is the voice of my own spirit that has been created by God Himself inside of me. And my spirit inside of me longs to follow God, and so does yours. It just longs to follow. It wants to do what's right. I want it to reign and rule over me. I don't want my flesh and my unrenewed mind to rule over me. I want that guy on the inside that God made, that the Holy Spirit communes with. I want them to be real noisy. I want to be them. They can rattle the cage and I can hear it. I don't want the flesh making all the noise and my mind making all the noise. I want that inner man so I can hear him. It's like the Lord told me back in February 1980, He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you'll mount to nothing as a Christian. 20 years later, He spoke to me and said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. How sad. Because they don't listen on the inside. They're full of the outside. They got religion of the flesh. They got religion on the outside. But they're not listening to the guy on the inside. Wisdom wants to put you over. Wisdom wants to put you in the place where you have everything you need. All of your needs are supplied. Everything is taken care of. And you have enough to give to every good work. Wisdom wants to do that. Wisdom wants to supply. Wisdom wants you to be able at any moment where God tells you what He wants you to do, you can just go ahead and do it. Wisdom wants you well. It's like the Lord told me years ago when I first started off as a Christian. He said, the number one thing I want, other than for my people, them being filled with the Spirit, He said, I want them to be well in their bodies. Because He said, when my people are not well in their bodies, the devil steals their money. Because he's going to doctors. And He said, number two, He said, they can't go do what I want them to do because their body keeps them doing whatever it wants to do. He said, I want them well. See, that was wisdom speaking to me. It told me that. Wisdom said that. Why? In other words, find out. So my search was, what do I need to do to stay well? What do I need to do to well? I say this. I never looked for a diet. I never looked for a certain type of food. I never looked for anything. I haven't missed, from 1980 on, I have never missed one day work sick or anything like that. Since 1980. Is it cause, Ed's really something. No, it's because God's really something. You know what? Easiest thing in the world if you find out what to do. Everybody's chasing everything else. Everybody's looking for everything else. Everybody's putting other things first. No, you seek wisdom. Wisdom first. That doesn't mean we can't do, you know, eating. You can't eat ice cream all the time. You know, you can't eat, well, yeah, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like vegetables, I don't like it. We ought to get used to them sometime. Because I'll tell you, someplace in your life, you're going to run into a problem with health-wise. Somewhere in your life, I don't like this or I don't like... There's things you have to, you know, there's things you have to do with taking care of your body. You live in this physical world, you know? And this stupid thing that we're hanging on to right now that people cherish so much and let it rule us and reign over us. Jesus is Lord next to my body. And... Look, we all have to slap it down at times. It does. I mean, get used to it. Paul's talked about being like a boxer, having to punch. You know, he's just, to get his body to quit. If Paul had to, you will too. You'll have times you're going to have to knock your body into the corner and hold it down and punch it a few times to make it quit. You're going to find it doesn't want to listen to you. Have you ever been there? Where your body just is doing something else as you get there. But what I began is my search became in this. I began to search God to find out. See, my first search, God, we were doing things concerning prosperity, but my big thing that God led me to was in the areas of healing. Because there's one thing, as I looked, I found this out. There's many people that are poor. because of their health. They're poor. Their health dominates them, ruins them, keeps them poor. You know what? People sit around and talk about, here in America, like now we had this national debt and they gave all these trillions of dollars away and, well, what's going to happen with this? Do you think, I want you to just think about it. I've talked about this before. What would you think if everybody in America was well, how much money we would have? How much money we're paying to insurance companies? How much we're paying into the government in taxes to take care of health problems? How much? We could pay off our national debt in about 10 weeks. We're spending trillions and trillions and trillions on health and have a sick bunch of people in our land. It ain't even working. We're spending trillions. But see, you need to come to this place. What's God do? Does God have you sick for a reason? Or is there whatever? You got to come to the place there's wisdom that I need to have. There's wisdom. And that's what I found. Well, God, if your intent is this, and see, I thought about all this back in the 1980s. I thought about these things and I looked at things and I thought, well, if God wants me well, then He has a way to do this. So I began to study healing from the Word and how to walk by faith in it. Doesn't matter how much you learn about healing and how many scriptures you can quote. It's what you can walk out and live. Because I found that many people know scriptures, but that's not what they're doing. They're quoting the scriptures, but not walking in wisdom. They're not applying the scripture to life because it don't make sense. Many times the wisdom of God don't make any sense at all to do toward whatever is going on in the natural. It seems stupid. It don't make any sense that when you're poor, you need to be given some money. That don't make no sense. The Lord reminded me yesterday about, He reminded me of the time back when Wanda and I were sitting in a Saturday night in a meeting, in a Saturday night, and we're sitting there, and it was a world communion service, and they had this thing that was on satellite. That was in the days when the satellite dishes were as big as this room, and they had these huge things they would do. And we were sitting, and it was a satellite, this big screen, it was a worldwide, it was other places were having communion at churches, and we're sitting there, and they took an offering. And Wanda and I were there, and Wanda and I, was in July because Wanda and I had our anniversary. And we're sitting there in that meeting, and we were just getting started off on this faith stuff, these faith things. And so I'm asking God what to do. See, I want wisdom. I want to know what you do. I want to know what the Word says, but I want to know how to apply it and do it. So we're sitting there, and Wanda and I had cash my check and stuff. We went out to get something to eat. It was our anniversary and we went and got something to eat. And it wasn't, you didn't spend a lot of money. You didn't have a lot of money. We had $85 to our name. That was it. 85 bucks. We didn't have any more money than that. $85. And I'm sitting there in this meeting and they're going to take an offering. So you know what? We're going to give something. But, we took an envelope. And so you used to take envelopes because you didn't want to let people know you didn't already have anything to give. So you put that in. That's what you did. Come on. Come on. People do that. You don't want people to know. My God, they'll think I'm putting a million in. I don't know. Anyhow. So you're sitting there, you're going to put it in. And the Lord says, put everything you have in there. I tell you, I heard it so clear. I didn't do it. And I sat there and I was going to. And he said again, put everything in. He told me the third time to put everything in. And you know what? I knew it was God talking to me. See, that was, understand this. This was God's wisdom. If you haven't ever had anything like this happen to you, you ain't been listening to God. I'm just telling you, you don't listen to wisdom anyhow. It's come to you at times to do things you think are ridiculous, and God's the one telling you to do it. I've been ridiculous. I pulled already into, a Turkey Hill, and there's a guy standing there, and the Lord said to me, go give him some money. And I go give him money. I got a clue, But it's the most amazing thing. I never hand anybody money, and he said, I don't want that. No, but how many times I've handed to him, and I've seen people get tears in their eyes, say, oh my God, I needed that this time. God spoke. See, we don't listen. We walk along Most of the time when God tells me to do something like that, it's usually at a time I'm trying to get money together and he's asking me to don't get it together. Let's give it away. But I remember this. I thought, if I put the $85 and I don't tell Wanda, I may not go home alive. So then it wouldn't matter if I was blessed, would it? And she really surprised me because I said, God said I was supposed to put all of our money in there. And she looked back at me and without a question. She said, well, if he told you, then do it. Because I was worried about what she was going to have to say. She was in it right away. I spoke to her once and God had to tell me three times. God didn't even tell her, I did. And I knew God talked to me. No, I know none of you ever had that. None of you ever bypassed any of that stuff, did you? But I want you to tell you this. Wisdom was talking and wisdom had a blessing for you. Wanda and I have gotten very tender then. I'll tell you how much money we gave away. We were down in Dayton. And just giving people money. I just felt, it's so in time. We just get an unction. It's one of the things I always like about Wanda. She's really good about it. I really have a good wife about giving because, you know, sometimes I just give stuff away. Wanda, sometimes more than me. And is giving people stuff. You see people, you give them things. You know, blessing people. And I just feel in my heart to do something. I learn. You know, some people say, well, what if you missed it? I'd rather miss it on the side like that than miss it on the other side of, well, maybe you weren't supposed to do that. But I've never had it that it didn't come back to me. It's always come, always been blessed. Always been blessed. I want to bless people. I want to bless people. You know, going to a restaurant, somebody's sitting over there and you don't even know them from Adam and Eve and just give them my bill, their bill. I'm going to pay that. I'm going to pay that. See, I asked the Lord, when the Lord spoke to me in 2014 and told me, he said, you don't receive at the level you give. And he taught me the principle of doing this. He said, now he told me, he commended me. He said, Wanda and I, he said, you guys have really, you really do good. He said, you've learned how to use your faith to get money and bring money. You've learned how to do that. And you're very, he told me, he said, you're very generous. He said, you give. And he said, I want to commend you in your giving. He said, because he said, you're systematic givers. He said, every year you guys go over and look at your giving and seeing how, what you do to give more or what you need to change and whatever you do. And every year we just decide and we go through it and we end up every year giving more. In fact, last time I was down to see my, tax guy, he's told me, he said, you're going to get audited because he said, for the money that you make and what you give, they're going to want to look at you, what you're doing. And so, you know, they don't do that to these real rich guys. They don't get, you know, we talk about these guys, you think these guys are real rich. They're sitting there with $1 billion and they give through, you know, say $25 million to something. That ain't nothing. That's like me giving $10 out of their money. They don't go look at them for that money that they give. They don't look at them. Why? Because that ain't hardly anything compared to what they make. Those guys never get audited because they give too much away. But see, we don't live a less, we live a more blessed life, giving more away. We live a more blessed life doing it. And I'm not saying these things to brag to you. These things I would normally have never even talked about. The Lord told me how to start talking about it. I wouldn't talk about these things. The Lord said, you need to talk about it. And it isn't to you, wow, ain't he something? No, he ain't. The Lord's really something. I would never do this without Jesus. I would still be trying to get in your pocket. And that's the truth, folks. But he commended me. One of the things he said about you systematically give, but he said, your problem is you don't systematically receive. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, you have no systematic plan. He said, you operate over in the area where most people do. He said, you believe when you need something. Well, that's the way generally we were taught. We need to put you back. He said, no, he said, I don't want you to do that. He said, I want you to start to have sums of money that you put out there all the time that you're believing for to be coming into you. And then he said, he spoke to me. Now, let me say this to you. He said this to me about my need. And I've talked about this before, but the Spirit's prompted me to talk about this again because most of you haven't got this yet. I've talked about it before a couple of times. He talked to me about my need. You know, the Bible says God will supply all your needs. See, people say, well, you know, your need. What is your need? Well, your need is this. Well, I really don't need a new car. Who said so? You determine your need. God doesn't. God doesn't determine your need. You determine that by your faith. The Lord said this to me. He said, I said to him, I want to supply your needs. I said, what is my need? And this is what he said to me. He said, you established your need. And he said, if you go less than that, I can't bless you like I want. He said, you always say, and I've done this for many, many years, the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and he made the statement that concerning the blessing of God, of supplying to you that you can give to every good work. And the Lord said to me, you have said that over and over. And he said, your heart believes that. He said, your need is to have enough that all your needs are met and you have enough to give to every good work. He said, that's what you need. You need to have enough money. And here's what he said to me. You need millions. You know, God didn't build that in me. I built that in me by confession of the word. That got built in me. And that's the same thing. You guys have heard me a number of times tell the story about Mike and Darlene. When they were going to build their house and they got over and I didn't know what was going on at all. And the Lord spoke to me, said, you need to go talk to Mike and Darlene and tell them that if they don't build the house that they had their desire to, I can't help them if they build the other one. I didn't know what it was about. So I said to Mike, the Lord told me to talk to you about the house you were going to build and something about you building another house. And Mike said, we thought maybe we were being a little too lavish about what we wanted. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said that first house they wanted was what was in their heart. And if they built the other one wasn't in their heart and it could not be built by faith and he could not help them. The devil keeps talking. God's people get desires in their heart for things. And the devil comes along and talks about them because they listen to dumb preachers tell them how they need to humble themselves and do less and have less. But in their heart, God can only work for you on the basis of your faith. And if what you're doing isn't what's in your heart, he can't help you on it. But if that good thing that you have inside of you that you want, that you desire, that's in you, he can help and bring that to pass. And he said to me to tell Mike and them, they need to build the house that's in their heart. And they built that house and it became a great blessing to them. And I'll guarantee you, this is what would have happened. If they'd have built lesser house, oh, they'd have it and been fine, but they'd have been unhappy with it. They'd have never been happy with it. Why? Because it wasn't, that house wasn't in their heart. Don't ever listen to these knucklehead preachers that always try to talk somebody. What you need to do is give me more money and you live less. And they live in a $2 million house telling you, you need to give a bigger offering. What's in your heart? Right here in this place, I'm just telling you right now, there's stuff in people's hearts here. You've never allowed it to come to pass. You thought it was too much. And your faith, God can't work with you till you start following what's in your heart or change what's in your heart. One way or the other, you're going to have to do that. Faith is about your heart. It's not about your head. It's not about the economy. It's not about COVID. It's not about any of this stuff. What's in your heart? God will fulfill what's in your heart. See, we don't want to. You know, Randy Greer said, I was so glad. And one of the things that he said down at the meeting, he talked about prosperity. He said, prosperity is coming. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to be more than people ever expected to happen. But I want to tell you what, it's only going to happen to people in faith. Is it going to be happen to people that have kept a little place in their heart for $25? Prosperity will blow up and there's people going to get mad about it because they'll think they're more spiritual than somebody else and somebody else got rich and they didn't and they're thinking, well, that must be the devil because if God was going to move, he'd have done it for me. I'm a much nicer person. No, God will fulfill what's in your heart. What are you saying? Is the dream in your heart, have you been saying that? Have you been confessing? Let me just say this. Don't run around and tell everybody else and confess your dream to everybody else. You'll get 97 people run around and make fun of you and they'll all come and try to talk you out of it. Don't do that. But when I'm alone with God, I talk what's in my heart. I learned this. You can get prayers answered when you talk from your heart. People don't do it. They talk, they get religious, they go through all the religious shenanigans and they're talking. I talk to God from my heart because that's the only prayers that are going to come to pass. I go to God. I take prophecies God said. I say, God, you said this with your word and I believe it's true. And that's what's going to come. You're going to bring that one to pass because you're a God that can't lie. And you're going to do these things. And most people, even most preachers, you could never pray that way in front of them. They would think you're some kind of heretic, that you're some kind. Who are you to demand of God? I can demand of God to keep his word, and if he don't, he's a liar and a fraud. If I can't stand, he has no right to come to me and ask me to do anything for him when he won't keep his word. My God is so delighted when I say, you're going to do this because you said it. He's there, whoa, my God, I got somebody believing here. Woo, we got a new thing going on. I can do it now. Why did God speak in the earth and he would get the prophets to go say what he said? He got a man to go say it so he could bring it to pass. He got a man to say it. He's just waiting for people to get the promises of the word on their voice. What's in your heart? What's the dream in you? What's your desire? You might think that so many years went past that I left to go. Will it ever be? Well, you'll never find out till you get into it. Don't go throw it away. Don't go throw it away. The Lord has spoken to me things and I haven't seen them. I'm 70 years old and I ain't seen them come to pass. But I'll tell you, I'll just have to live as long as it takes to bring it to pass.
Amen.
That's just the way it's going to be. But it's coming to pass. Hide and watch. See, it doesn't matter. But the things that he said are true and he will bring them to pass. He will work them out. What I need to do is keep my dream alive, and I keep my dream alive by my voice. You want to keep your dream alive. Don't be one of these knuckleheads today. Well, the nation's just going under and everything's going down the tubes. You run into somebody like that and you say they're a Christian, slap them first, then talk to them. Because talking to them, if you don't slap them, you'll never get their attention. They'll just be dumb as a stick. Because they have this little weenie God that can't fix things. He can't do a miracle. Shall I tell you what? Every move of God. You know, you go back to the colonial days in America. America was so bad before its first revival took place, was so bad that most of the colonies in the towns, women couldn't even go out on the streets alone in the daytime. The majority of men were drunkards. The majority. We got the majority today in America are idiots. So I think we're running in a good spot right now. You know what? America's primed for a move of God. Move of God's never come when things are good. Everybody wants to have it. Oh, let's have it good. I don't want any inconvenience. Bring on the inconvenience. Make it get rotten and then blow up God. It was so bad. They just thought the American colonies, they were finished. They were done. And then what? God sent some people on fire. And there was an English preacher that came. And revival started through the colonies. A move of God turned everything around. Right now, there's very little faith for that in America. There's very little faith. As Americans generally in the church see things get worse, they become more hopeless. I see things getting worse. I just see God more glorious. I just see God's more glorious. Hallelujah. My God's glorious. My God lives in me. I know how glorious he is. He lives inside of me. I can look around and see this stuff out here and it don't faze me. Why? Because I spent more time looking at on the inside the God that's in me than the God, than the most people's God that's out there. Look on the inside of you. All things are possible to him that believeth unless everything goes bad. Then nothing's possible very much. That is the last part of the verse, isn't it? What do you and I need to have? We need to keep having faith in God. That's all we need to do. Keep our faith. And you can't keep your faith in God talking what's bad's going on and the rioting and all that kind of stuff and all that stuff and keeping that before us. And you can't keep faith and do that. I'm going to tell you what. There's going to be a move of God that's going to blow the minds of most Christians. Most Christians are going to have been knowing that they have never, hardly ever, worshipped the true God. Their minds are going to get blown. Because the real Jesus Christ will stand up. And all the people that you thought would never accept Jesus will be top on the list. They will come and they will call on His name. All that we said that wouldn't. I know a revival happened at Reese's while I was there. And I was told I was the last guy they thought ever would accept Christ. And I told them, I said, I know you never prayed for me. Well, they couldn't if they don't thought I was gone. I'm sure they weren't praying. What would you pray for the guy you never think would ever get saved? You'd never pray for him. And I said, I just want to thank you. I know that you never prayed for me. You were never any help to God. But there was somebody did. Somebody didn't look at me as hopeless. You find this, it's hard to pray for the people around that you see. Because all you can see is what they do. That's why tongues is wonderful. You can pray for people you don't know. We get so full of seeing. We get so full of that. You know, God couldn't reach Pelosi, could He? You know, God's big, but Pelosi? Come on. God ain't that big. He didn't mean that all things apply. He did have some limitations on that. I saw Pelosi's name under that. He couldn't do that. You see, the whole thing. See, we see things and we get thinking over the mind. See, it's one of the things. I pray for Obama all the time. In fact, I say, Lord, that man goes to hell. He's going to take his whole family with him. I don't want him to do that. I don't want him and his family in hell. Amen. I want him and his family. I don't like his politics. I don't like what he does at all. But I don't want him to go to hell. He wasn't any meaner or worse than I was. If I was a president when I was a sinner, my God, you'd have prayed to have Obama. And that same Jesus saved me. He didn't quit on me. Hallelujah. And I look at those people and I think, you know, well, they do make us mad, but I don't want them eternity in hell. It isn't a bad day. It ain't like getting locked up in a prison for a period of time. It's an eternity of punishment. And people are leaving every day off into that. Father, let's stand our feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to take communion here today. And Lord God, communion stands for fellowship. It's fellowship. And Lord, there's many things we've said today. And Lord God, it's not to condemn anybody. But Lord God, I need awakened as much as anybody in this place. I need shaken as much as anybody in this place. And Lord God, You remind us by communion, not to put us down or to put us out. It's to bring us to fellowship. And Jesus, these wonderful elements, they stand for You. They're about You. They're about Your wonder and Your glory that You provided for us. And Lord, if any way we cheapened You, forgive us. Of the glorious things that You have done for humanity, Father, I pray as today as we take this communion that we honor it and we put it there, Lord God, where everyone can see that we honor You most of all. You're incredible. There's none like You. Nobody could have done what You've done. Lord God, every one of us here today, our destiny was hell. Our destiny was eternal punishment, eternal damnation. That's what it was, but that's not what it is. It's all been changed by us responding to what our Master did. He did all the work and we get all the benefit. And I want to thank You, Jesus. Thank You for loving us when we were so unlovely. Thank You for loving us when we were just full of iniquity and we were full of thoughts. But Lord God, even after we were saved, thank You for loving us when we did what was wrong and we didn't walk where we should, did things we shouldn't have done, but You didn't even quit on us then. Your blood wasn't for one day on a cross, but Your blood was taken into heaven to make an eternal redemption. It was put on the mercy seat of heaven where today We can come before you, and if we've missed the mark, we can just come before you today and just, the word says, confess our sin. All we got to do is admit what we did. We messed up. And you say the blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Every unrighteous act, it is removed, and we stand before you pure and holy as if we have never done anything wrong. Lord God, that's just downright remarkable. That is just downright remarkable. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you for the power of the blood that stands today as strong as it did the day it was shed. I want to thank you for that blood that made an eternal redemption. Lord God, that our Father will honor for eternity. Hallelujah. And we will stand before Him as His children. Hallelujah. Lord God, and blessed for eternity by Him. Yes. Father, we thank you. Lord God, as we take these elements, we take our step into our fellowship with our wonderful Lord. We take our step, Lord God. We're not going to draw away. We're not drawing back. We're coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. I want to thank you. If we missed it, there's mercy. Hallelujah. And there's grace, it says, to help in time of need. Grace to put us over. Grace to give us ability to stand against those things we failed at. Hallelujah. We'll have victory today in those things. Lord God, they will not hold us back. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask our servers to come. Hallelujah.